errors or omissions reported during this program.
Okay, good morning. Welcome to Stock Market Strategies on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Ed Handley, Certified Financial Planner, Senior VP Investments, Fulcrum Securities, LLC, and Portfolio Manager. Fulcrum Securities is a member of FINRA, SIPC, clearing through Pershing, LLC, a subsidiary Bank of New York Mellon, member of the New York Stock Exchange. This program will focus on strategies for the financial markets with an emphasis on technical analysis and macroeconomics. We are a live call-in show. We'll take your questions this morning at any time. The call-in numbers are 202-465-3080. Let me repeat, 202-465-3080. Programs are streamed to www.federalnewsradio.com. Click on Listen, select the format. Programs are also archived. Just click on Stock Market Strategies. Navigation is easy. I manage money for institution and retail accounts using combinations of stocks, bonds, ETFs, mortgage pools, currencies, structured products, longs and shorts, almost any hedge that I can get, using top-down analysis and a tactical, not strategic allocation. Also run the Fulcrum Fee Program. And you may get some details on that if you qualify and have interest. Let me know, please. My email address is EDH. That's EDH at fulcrumsecurities.com. Telephone numbers during business hours, not today, please. 866-689-4001. I also do a podcast twice a week, and those programs are archived on www.edhandley.com. Check it out, please. Okay, please remember the opinions and views expressed during the broadcast this morning are not to be considered specific recommendations. Individual investors' decisions should only be made after considering one's own circumstances, including tolerance for risk. Investors should consider including fundamental, quantitative, and technical analysis before making final investment decisions. Caveat emptor. Okay, I'm a little hoarse this morning, suffering from the flu. Well, that was somewhat of a difficult week. What's going on here and how does it influence your investment decisions? The presidential election, and this is important, obviously, because it is going to set the style of how the country is going to tackle the fiscal cliff, which is going to occur on 1 December. In one case, you're going to have more government spending, more government control, and a less than a wholehearted effort to improve the situation. In the other case, you can look for dramatic changes. That will influence how the fiscal cliff is going to be worked. That's the first step. Then the second step after the election will be to find some type of compromise, some type of program that's going to alleviate the pressure. It is intuitively obvious that business is waiting for those occurrences. They are going to be reluctant to commit, both in terms of expansion or whatever, until they figure out what is going to be the possible path that we're going to take. Based simply put, in one case, it's a continuation of the same with modifications. In the other case, it's going to be an effort to increase growth to relieve the pressures. So we're going to see how it's going to play out. So I want to talk about the fiscal cliff in great detail for this program, and I probably will not finish it this morning. So I'll probably get a continuation on this next week. Now, programs will be archived, so if you miss this week, you can come back and get the first or get the lead into the subject, which is today, of course, and you can do that next week. But I anticipate that I will not finish this morning because it's somewhat extensive. Now, much, not all, but much of what I'm going to give you is going to come from one of my favorite authors. And that's John Maldon, M-A-U-L-D D-I-N. He's a Texas boy down in Texas. I've followed him for years. I love his writing style. It's in your face, straight up, very little spin, and very easy to understand his style. He's also extremely well-connected, and I think he gets us a lot of his inputs from his various number of knowledgeable people throughout the world. Now, about a year and a half ago, he wrote a book, which I have, and I've read it like three times, and I would tell you that his prophecies and his situations are coming almost without exception to fruition. That book is called Endgame. It's very inexpensive, and if you really want to understand the fiscal cliff and how this ultimately could play out, it's pretty much a required reading. You can probably pick it up on Amazon for $15 or left, and you can read it like in 2 days easily. So I would suggest that if you have a deep interest in this subject, that you get a copy of John Maldon's book, Endgame, and read it quickly, because we are there. Now, it is somewhat a little bit dated because it came out about a year and a half ago, but what he talks about is certainly coming true. So that's the background on that. So what we're going to do here this morning is focus on the financial cliff. So what do we know? We have economic models through the various economies that are used to guide monetary and fiscal policy. The problem is they may not be working as in the past. Now, part of the analysis of all analysis, regardless of how you do this, is you're going to take your past algorithms, your past models, see if they're still working, and then if you're really, really good at it, you're going to do a sensitivity analysis to some of your assumptions. Most all of these models work on good assumptions. If the assumptions are flawed, they don't work. Very much like basic analysis on stocks. It's kind of like it portends to be predictive, but in fact is not, because there are changes of factors that are not, the impact of which is not well quantified. So fundamental analysis on stocks pretty much leads to a linear projection, past performance indication of future performance, with a small adjustments for the factor that drives the market, okay, which is, of course, sentiment through investors. That is difficult to model. We don't really have an outstanding firm grasp on modeling sentiment in the market. In any case, that's what you're going to find up, and you're going to be using the same type of models when you try to make predictive calls on the fiscal cliff. What is different and has not been well modeled, of course, is the massive amount of debt that is in the system, be it North America, Europe, even the China in the Far East, and to a lesser degree Latin America, because it's not that big of an economy. This is the problem that economists have. We are presently, with some of the things that we're doing in this government, entered into territory from which we have never been before. I can lay out various statistics that will tell you that we're there, but just let's take one for an example. When we started this in 2007, 2008, the Fed balance sheet was like $600 or $700 billion. By this time next year, given its rate of projection, you'll be at $3 trillion. That is a massive increase. You can look at our deficit. We're running $1 trillion dollars per year. 4 years ago, we started with a $10.5 trillion deficit. Now it's 16. We've managed to do in 4 years what it took the history of the Republic to do, or 60% of what it took the history of the Republic to do since its inception. That is a massive change. This has never been well modeled. Hence, we have a problem. So we know that in a very few number of weeks, a very large debate, which is going to be post-election, is going to erupt in Congress about how to deal with the fiscal cliff. obviously, because we don't know which path we're going to take because of the presidential election. They're backing off on that until that election is over. Now, both sides will display economic models that demonstrate the superiority of the chosen solutions and the utter disaster that will ensue if the opposition's plans are enacted. That's part of politics and to be expected. The underlying assumptions are going to be the key. The sensitivity analysis on those assumptions will be the key to the key. Now, if we take the fact that almost everyone has concluded that if the tax increase and spending cuts were to be enacted as the legislation currently dictates, a rather serious recession would follow in short order. So we're going to take a look at some of those assumptions. Now, right now, it's important to note, it is not possible to increase taxes and grow an economy. It cannot, it has not, it will never, ever be done. So if you're going to increase taxes, it is a given, a probability beyond belief that you will in fact slow your economic growth because of those tax increases. You have to recognize that as a start point. So as I mentioned, we're going to look at some of the assumptions. Now, what's going on in Europe and what's going to transpire to our economic fiscal cliff is austerity. Are you, in fact, going to reduce the spending? If you reduce the spending, you federal government spending, that is, you will reduce GDP. The solution here, ultimately, is to find the slope that's going to get you on the correct path. So, just a side note as we press on with this. Now, if we look at the chief economist for the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, his name is Oliver Blanchard. He has an associate, Daniel Lee. They recently wrote like kind of a three-page paper, and it's buried in World Economic Outlook. You can Google that and bring it up if you wish, and you'll find the three-page paper. But they talk about They talk in great detail on the three-page paper about the fiscal multiplier. Now, this has been recognized before, but as I said, it's not been well-defined as to how important it is or what the range is. And there's been a generally accepted principles of how it would impact the economy, although not well-validated. So their position in this three-page paper is that the change in real GDP that is produced by a shift in fiscal policy equals 1% of GDP. So what I mean by that is if the fiscal multiplier is assumed to be 1%, then a change in government spending by 1%, that could be either an increase or a decrease, would produce a corresponding change of 1% of GDP. That is, it's a one-for-one relationship on a percentage basis called the fiscal multiplier. Now, most institutional economists assume the fiscal multiplier to be about a half of a percent. What that means is if you'd have a spending cut by government of 1% of GDP, it would actually reduce the actual GDP by about half a percent, multiplier 0.5. The fall in GDP would, of course, what would it do? It would reduce tax revenue, which means that you would have less than a 1% actual cut in the deficit. If the tax rate were, say, 30% in the example, the deficit would reduce by 85 basis points, or 0.85%. So that may be an acceptable outcome when the economy is growing or the deficit and total debt are too high and the bond market is forcing the government to cut back, which is not going to be the case here because this is being controlled by the Federal Reserve. And the rates are being dictated by the Federal Reserve because basically what is happening is the Treasury is issuing securities and the Federal Reserve are buying them. Federal Reserve owns 60% of all the long bond. in the market. What have they been doing in Operation QE's and Operation Twist? They're buying the long end and selling the short end. Okay, so that's what they're doing. So when Blanchard and Lee agree that in the past the fiscal multiplier was generally about a half of a percent. They also suggest that the fiscal multiplier has been much higher. Their study suggests it has been at least 0.9 and perhaps as much as 1.7. Now, if we look at the various economies through Europe, particularly we notice Spain and Greece, as their austerity measures appear to be removing in reverse. So we now uncover that what has generally been accepted as what a fiscal multiplier would be, in fact, may not be that. And various economies, various countries are differing. We have Mr. Davies, the Financial Times, views the International Monetary Research Fund research, the International Monetary Fund research findings from the perspective of England. When the governments are taking 40%, the results are less than pleasing. If, however, according to Davies, the multiplier is 1.7, then the same initial public spending cuts a cut of 1% of GDP would reduce real outlook by 1.7%. Wow. You get it? If we're going to reduce government spending by 1%, it is possible, according to Mr. Davies, the Financial Times, that you could actually get a 1.7% reduction in GDP. Once again, let me emphasize, we are moving into territory where we have no valid models to rely upon from the past because we've not been in this situation where the world debt is so high before. We've not been there. And interest rates near zero. Okay, let's go on. We would also reduce the tax or the transfers by about 0.7%. So the net overall effect in the budget deficit would therefore only be 0.3%. So his conclusion is that based on their economy, if you're to reduce the spending by 1%, you may only get a 0.32% increase. And the economy would probably, based on the fact you'd reduce GDP by 1.7%, the economy would be in recession, the budget deficit would hardly move at all. If all of this were acceptable to governments, it may not be acceptable to the electorate. Therein lies the problem. Politicians, being what they are, have to get reelected. And if you're going to lay this upon the electorates, they may not think you're doing the right job, and you've got a problem. So, it's a rather pessimistic arithmetic, but it's not that far away from describing what has actually happened in some countries like the UK in the past 2 years. By the way, they'd had a negative GDP for three quarters. No one ever talks about it. The latest they popped up, they got 1%. But previous to that, they've been negative GDP for three quarters. So if you look at the UK in the last couple of years, you would say that, hey, you know, you look like you got more bad news to come. And the four major advancing economies are now planning to tighten fiscal policy in the years ahead by an average of about 1.7% of GDP. What that means is, bottom line is, you know, if you tighten the under austerity, if you tighten this by 1%, it is entirely possible you will have a 1.5% reduction in GDP. So if you're cruising along at a 0.5% GDP or 1% GDP, you are automatically dipping yourself into recession. And hence, the tax revenues are going to fall and you exacerbate the problem. So with a fiscal multiplier anywhere near the upper end of the Blanchard-Lee range would suggest that the effects of the policy would eliminate any chance of a rebound to normal growth rates. Remember, one camp is you're going to grow your way out of this by reducing taxes in order to help grow the economy. The other is you're going to reduce the government spending, which is going to impact your GDP to some degree, but hopefully you won't reduce it enough that you trigger a recession. That's kind of the setup between the two schools of thoughts. So this now the fiscal tightening and troubled economies of the Eurozone is obviously a troubling situation for those economies. We've had some relaxation of budget constraints and targets, but it is really kind of like lip service to the overall problem. So Europe, in my view, has a much more severe problem than the U.S. If we look at what's happened to Europe over time, we can figure out where we're going if we don't make any change. But I think we will. So the key is, what is going to be the fiscal multiplier, which I've said a couple times already, is not well quantified in terms of what we've had in the past and under this particular setup. It's not there. It has not been well modeled before. And it opens up what was perceived to be a given, that is one half multipliers, one for one or one half net effect, in fact, may not be true. So there's a problem with all of this, as Davis and others have pointed out. It assumes that the result in one country would be pretty much those of any other country. This is particularly true in Europe. So if you run through this and take out Greece and Germany as an example, you could remove much of the increases that you would get in a fiscal multiplier. Perhaps. Now, that doesn't stop guys like Paul Krugman and other Keynesians for trumping this analysis as a reason to forget all forms of austerity. So the research does call attention to the dangers of creating economic models that are to guide public policy. Davis continues, and I quote very briefly, "The decline in the IMF occurred mainly because economists became more aware of the need to take assumptions about monetary policy while making the estimates. If the central bank has assumed the whole monetary growth or inflation at a given target, when the fiscal policy is tightened, then interest rates will decline, and this will also have some of the negative effects. The multiplier will be lower." However, end of quote. However, the opposite's also true. If interest rates are stuck at zero, central banks cannot reduce monetary policy when fiscal policy is tightened, and the multiplier is correspondingly increased. Obviously, we got to stop there. Hope you've enjoyed this. Hope you see a continuation next week. You're listening to Stock Market Strategies. Be careful out there. Please remember that investors should consider including fundamental, quantitative, and technical analysis before making final investment decisions. Talk to you next week on Stock Market Strategies.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your one-stop shop for all things federal. Listen daily to interviews with federal managers and government contractors. Read Mike Causey's daily federal report, or just stop by for an update on the latest news affecting the federal community. FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
If you are facing advanced illness or the end of life of a loved one, peace of mind is in short supply. Fortunately, pain-free comfort care is available from the Washington Home and Community Hospices, a not-for-profit organization with a holistic team of doctors, nurses, caregivers, social workers, chaplains, and volunteers. The team comes to you in your home or wherever you call home in D.C., Montgomery, or Prince George's County. For your peace of mind, call them day or night for a complimentary consultation at 866-234-7742. If you are facing advanced illness or the end of life of a loved one, peace of mind is in short supply. Fortunately, pain-free comfort care is available from the Washington Home and Community Hospices, a not-for-profit organization with a holistic team of doctors, nurses, caregivers, social workers, chaplains, and volunteers. The team comes to you in your home or wherever you call home in D.C., Montgomery, or Prince George's County. For your peace of mind, call them day or night for a complimentary consultation at 866-234-7742.
Help cure Huntington's disease by coming out to Millbrook High School in Winchester, Virginia, Saturday, November 3rd. They'll be holding the third annual Care to Cure HD 5K Run Walk and Kids Fun Run, where 100% of the proceeds will be donated to the Huntington's Disease Society of America. There'll be awards for the winners and lots of great door prizes. For more information, please visit their website at caretocurehd5k.com. That's caretocurehd5k.com.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball, Washington Capitals hockey, the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, and American University Eagles basketball. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m., the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics, and your source for federal news now. This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility.